Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Only one person has taken umbrage at me referring to as the impeachment turns, because let me tell you why I do this, and then I'll welcome in our guest. 3 o'clock, I put on, I didn't know the name of the show on MSNBC, and it's Nicole Wallace. And I don't mean this to sound in a bad way or anything, but she reminds me a lot of a lady I used to date, so maybe that's got a lot to do with it. But she is breathlessly every day talking about how this is the end of the world for the Trump administration. The United States is going down the tubes. The same guests are on saying the same thing. And to be fair, at 7 o'clock, you can put on Fox with Tucker Carlson, and you can see where the Democrats are. The worst thing to ever happen, that they're trying to undermine the country, and he's breathless in his tirades and this and that and the other thing. And I'm not making one better than the other. I think in a lot of ways, there's so much show business involved here. It has taken on the nature of a show more than just the process. And maybe that's not anything new when it comes to politics. Jeannie Zeno, professor of political science at Iona College, professor of campaign management at NYU. Good morning, Jeannie.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Is a lot of this, and I know it's a very serious thing, impeachment, and I guess I'm looking at the end of the situation, and we're a long way from that. Who knows what's going to happen in the Senate? They're going to have an open, Jeannie, let's start it here. Where are we at in this impeachment drama?
Well, we are hearing testimony today from a witness who was actually on the phone call. And so the phone call that prompted the whistleblower to blow the whistle, and this is Colonel Vindman, and we understand because, of course, his opening statement has been leaked and released, that he is going to testify that he was very uncomfortable with and, in fact, reported on the phone call. That testimony is today. And then we know now that Nancy Pelosi has decided that she will meet the Republicans' call for a vote on an impeachment inquiry. And that is scheduled to happen Thursday. So things are moving ahead quickly. Now, again, that's a vote on the impeachment inquiry, not a vote on impeachment, of course.
So there is also an investigation going on by the Attorney General of, I don't quite know what the gentleman's title was. Durham, right? He was a
Durham, Connecticut. Yeah, the Attorney General. Yep.
So, what is he investigating exactly?
So he is looking into the origins of this. You know what really that many Republicans, conservatives, but other people see as the roots of this entire issue, which is what really led up to the entire Russia probe that prompted the appointment of Bob Mueller as a special prosecutor. So he's really looking into the origins of this entire issue from the 2016 campaign perspective on forward, because, of course, that in and of itself is a sordid tale. And we know now in the last few days, last week, that has become a criminal investigation as well. And John Durham is a well-respected, he's the U.S. attorney for the District of Connecticut. He's been doing this. He was appointed by the administration in earlier this year, or maybe a few months ago. I don't know the exact date. And he has been looking into this. And so this is something that Republicans in particular have longed pushed for. They want to know what prompted the FBI to investigate Russia collusion in the first place, and sort of led to this entire trickle of issues that has come, you know, full circle now.
I know a lot of people that watch Law and Order, and I do too, use the fruit from the poison tree thing, thinking that, well, the president can't be held accountable because none of this would have been discovered had it been not been for the FISA not a warrant. What is it? A court order, I guess. But I don't think that applies here. And I guess just because the FBI or whomever did something wrong, then they're going to have to face their own consequences and the president has to face his, right? One doesn't offset the other?
It doesn't, just on the most practical level, because this has now become a political issue in the House and potentially in the Senate. So, you take out the criminal aspect of this, and regardless of Durham fines, the House may still take a vote on an impeachment, and if they vote it positively, it may go to the Senate for a the trial. So, that is the politics of this thing now. It's expanded well beyond this investigation that Durham is conducting. Although, depending on what Durham finds, perhaps it could sway hearts and minds in the House and the Senate. If he finds something that is, sort of makes Democrats, for instance, moderate Democrats, feel that they don't want to support an impeachment vote for the president. That's certainly possible. But again, because this is now political and not strictly criminal, it's going to keep moving forward one way or the other, regardless of what Durham finds.
My perception is nobody's hands are clean as it relates to this. Is that anywhere near accurate?
I think that's absolutely true. And this is what, I think we deserve, although I don't think we're going to get a clear full story for many, many years when historians look into this. But we deserve a full accounting of the events that led to the FBI inquiry. There was certainly, bad faith on both sides here. And I think it's going to be a long time coming. And I couldn't agree more with what you said at the beginning. You and I do a lot of work in the media. They are having a field day with this. Their numbers are way up.
Yep.
This is good business for the media. And that is why they talk about it on cable news 24/7. And I am guilty of that as well. So I will just put that out there. But
we're talking about it now, huh, Jeannie?
We are talking about it now. We are contributing to it. There's a lot of other things going on. But listen, you talk about it in the media because, quite frankly, people are interested and they listen. If nobody watched or listened, they would tell other stories. But that's not the case.
One thing I never did get was the Democrats are trying to invalidate the 2016 election because he's been president 3 years. I don't know how you invalidate that. Do they mean one thing that I'm not getting? And he's going to be president until 2020. I don't see anything really changing that in terms of timeline. So how can you say you are invalidating the 2016 election when he's been president for 3 years?
I think that is the height of folly. I don't think Democrats will be able to invalidate the election. I think at this point they're doing what they can do to try to remove him from office. From their perspective, they think that's the best they can do. There has been, and we need to be clear on this, there has been no evidence forthcoming that the president is not the duly elected president of the United States. You may not like how the campaign worked. You may not like him. You may not like, how the Russians were involved and so on and so forth. But let's also be clear, this is not the first election in which there has been outside influence in domestic campaigns. And that is something we need to stop, obviously. And also, we need to be honest, the United States has done that as well in other parts of the world, and we shouldn't be engaged in that either. So, I think invalidating the election is absolutely off the table. And I think this is where the Democrats on this impeachment have an issue, which is they know they need to wrap this up before voting begins in early next year for the primaries for 2020. Because once you get there, voters will start to say, let the election run its course. Let us decide if we want to, reinstate him as president or throw him out. But stop the impeachment. Democrats know that, so they're going to try to wrap this up quickly. And that's really difficult to do with the holidays coming.
So what happens now? They have a vote on Thursday or Friday, and then they decide whether or not to have an official. What exactly is that vote going to be about, Jeannie? And at what point does any of this become public, as it was, I believe, with Clinton and Nixon?
Yeah, the vote on Thursday, or if it's pushed off till Friday, will be a vote to support or not support an impeachment inquiry. The committees will go ahead with their work. The Judiciary Committee will eventually get work that Democrats hope sooner rather than later, vote on articles of impeachment, send those to the floor for a full floor vote. If they vote that out, he will be impeached and it will go to the Senate, where Mitch McConnell will have to decide how he conducts a trial, if at all. He said he will. And to your point, Democrats have to this point tried to say that, you know, this is akin to a grand jury, that it will all become public in the trial. They may be pushed into opening this up more because they are being pushed, and I think rightly so, on the issue of transparency with so many of these, you know, witnesses testifying. We are hearing one-sided leaks at this point. And, you know, they're getting pushed and they're responding with this vote to make this thing much more transparent. So they may make this public sooner rather than later.
And, you know, I've been talking for a long time and I was getting ready to say that for something that is being done in under the utmost security. We sure do have a lot of leaks about what's going on in there. Thank you, Jeannie. I appreciate your time.
Great to talk to you.
Great, as always.
Have a good rest of the week.
You too. Jeannie Zeno, professor of political science at Iona College and professor of campaign management at NYU. For those of you texting in, you guys hate Trump. The president retweeted one of Janie's tweets. So she does not hate Trump at all. The president's tweet was his tweet was thanking her for her tweet. If you can follow that at tweeting. So she's not anti-Trump at all. I think sometimes people have such blinders on that as soon as they hear the word Trump, they get their feelings hurt. And it's just hang on, relax. 9:52, more when we come back. WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.